First of all, my dear friends, a very, very blessed and happy Easter to all of you. Last week, physicists revealed some very, very significant information for those of us who are truly intrigued by the universe. There's a telescope called, it's a $900 million telescope called the Planck Space Telescope. And what they're able to do with this telescope is to map the background radiation from the early universe. You may find this really unbelievable, but these physicists are able to study sound echoes. In other words, sound that has been there for billions of years, and fossilized light. I never knew you could discover and study fossilized light. They now understand that the universe is about 13.8 billion years old. 80 million years older than what we originally believed it to be. Only 80 million years older. It's changed, right? They also now think that the universe was smaller than an atom. And in a split second, it exploded. It's what they call the Big Bang. Cooled and expanded faster than the speed of light, and that's the beginning of what we now call the universe. But here is what I'm really intrigued by. The material universe that we see, what we know about, is only 5% of the universe. 5%. 68.3% of what holds the universe together, of what the universe is, 68.3%, we don't even know what it is. It's called dark energy. Not because dark means bad, but it's just that with all our technology, with all our knowledge, the 68.3% of the universe that holds it together, that we do not even understand what it is. And I was thinking, if we do not understand 68.3% of what the universe is, imagine the possibilities. 100 years from now, what is it that we will know? And how unfathomable it would be. So I think the universe, the cosmos, offers what I call endless possibilities. I want to reflect upon Easter as the feast of endless possibilities, eternal possibilities. See, I believe that when the tombstone was removed, when Jesus rose, there was unlimited energy and power that was unleashed into the whole universe. And I believe that the resurrection of Christ is like a Big Bang. With the opening of the tomb of Jesus' resurrection, unimaginable energy and power has been unleashed into the whole world. But unlike dark energy, we know what this energy is. Easter also offers unlimited, endless, eternal possibilities. I want to reflect on three of those possibilities for us who believe in the resurrection of Christ. First of all, the possibility of good over evil. In recent times, you and I have become aware of a lot of evil around us. See, back in my own country, a 21-year-old girl was raped by six men on a moving bus and thrown out later and left to die. You think about this and you say, gosh, this is horrific. In our own country, about 3 months back, an unstable man entered into a school and just mowed down with a gun 20 innocent kids and 6 adults. Closer to us in Steubenville, Ohio, boys, teenagers, intoxicated, raped a 16-year-old inebriated girl, photographed it, put it on social media. And we ask ourselves, is this the same world that Christ redeemed? See, Christ himself was the victim of evil. When he was laid in the tomb and they shut the entrance to the tomb, they thought that evil had had its last word. But even before the death of Jesus, Jesus did not let evil conquer him. Yes, there was evil around the Son of God, but he did not let evil conquer him. He healed the soldier who had come to arrest him. He forgave his accusers and murderers from the cross. He welcomed the repentant sinner into paradise, and even in excruciating pain, entrusted his spirit to his Father. Had Christ returned evil with evil, then evil would have won. But Christ let goodness and godliness reign in him. Not even the sealed tomb could contain the goodness of God, of Jesus. Folks, with the resurrection of Christ, unlimited goodness and godliness has been unleashed into the world. Unlimited. Yes, there is evil around us. Yes, there is sin around us. But Christ gives us the endless possibility to overcome evil with goodness. And Christ shows us how. That's the first thing I want to talk about, the endless possibility of goodness over evil. Secondly, the endless possibilities of love. See, this coming Tuesday, we have a very difficult funeral over here. Ian Bell was a 26-year-old young man, married. He worked for the U.S. Navy. The circumstances of his death is still unclear, but the fact is that a father has lost his son, a wife, her husband, and 2 sisters, their beloved brother. I met with the family last Thursday just to talk. And at one point, the father said to me, "But Father," he said, "I loved my son." And I was lost for words. What do you say to a father who's lost his 26-year-old son? I let him cry. I cried with them. And finally, just because I had to say something, I blurted out and said, I said, John, they can kill your son, but they can never kill the love you have for your son, or the love your son had for you. I didn't know what I was saying at that point, but this is so true, isn't it? Love can never die. Nobody can kill love. Listen, people could kill Jesus, but they could not kill his love. They could try to destroy God, but they cannot destroy love. Jesus shows us the endless possibilities that love offers. The cross is a witness to what the possibilities of love are. One look at the cross and we know the possibilities of love. What would happen if Christians all over the world grasped on to the possibilities of Christ's love? What if everybody laid their guns down? What if we separated the walls that have been built between genders and races and classes and religion? You think love can triumph over our differences, these differences? Imagine what could happen if we did not just bury Christ's love in some corner of our heart, but rather understood the possibility that the cross offers, that the love of Christ offers, and we actually lived accordingly. You and I who believe in Christ, if we could understand the possibilities of love, this world would be a different place. The cross of Jesus offers us endless possibilities of love. And thirdly, the human heart is the realm of possibilities. How many of you are beginning to get intrigued by Pope Francis? This man has set the Catholic Church and the world on a radically new path this Holy Week and Easter. His latest action of washing the feet of 12 minor detainees on Holy Thursday, two of them were women, and two of them among them were not even Catholic. It's beginning to agonize some people and delight others. Many people think of Catholicism as a sum of all its rituals, the sacraments, the clergy, the traditions, the cathedrals, the devotions, and sometimes the pomp and the regalia. But I think the Pope, without rejecting these, is redefining Catholicism according to the gospel message of simplicity, humility, and love. He is making me reimagine what it means to be Catholic. So when he went, for example, into the prison and celebrated Mass there and washed the feet and kissed the feet of 12 inmates, the question that I asked myself is, why didn't I think of this? He's making me rethink my Christianity. He's making me reimagine how to be a Catholic in today's world. See, what I mean by bringing the example of Pope Francis is this. Where is the love that Christ brings, the goodness that Christ brings, where does it exist? In some vacuum elsewhere? I said we know the energy that exists in the world because of Christ. We may not understand dark energy, but we know the energy of the risen Christ. And where does it live? It lives in the human heart, not in some vacuum up there. The human heart is a realm of possibilities. Your heart and mine, especially the heart that belongs to Christ, has been baptized and that knows the power of the Spirit. This human heart, yes, yours and mine, is a realm of possibilities. Please, Christians, I think the Pope is trying to say, please live Christianity in the depth of your being, in your heart. Let the energy and the love and the goodness that Christ has unleashed into the world, he says, let it come to fruition in your heart, in your being, in your home, in your family. Don't bury Christ again in your heart. The tomb is open once and for all. That tomb, that open tomb, is your heart and mine. Let Christ live. Let Christ reign. Let Easter truly be. Very soon the bread and wine will be brought and put on the altar, right? It's not bread and wine, is it? For those of us who believe, this is the risen Christ. And you want energy, and you want power, and you want goodness, and you want love. Here it is. This energy is going to be poured into our hearts in bread and wine today. Please drink it. Let it absorb you. Let it envelop you. And then please, go out not as a closed up grave, but as an open tomb, because Jesus has risen from the dead. The people of God said,